Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 120 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me is Josh Horowitz of...
I'm back.
Yes,
hello.
You're back. Of you can tell everyone where you're from. Yeah, you don't want it.
A long time ago, to do a podcast called 5 Minutes of Trouble with Brett Stillo, and then we did a follow-up that was called 5 Minutes of Banzai that talked about Buckaroo Banzai. The first one was about Big Trouble Little China, and those were the two big ones. I've done another one called 12 Chimes It's Midnight, but podcasting just hasn't been on my radar as much lately, so I'm glad to be back in the saddle with you, Rob. Thanks for inviting me to this.
I appreciate you coming back. I mean, come on. If I remember correctly, you were on like the first or second week of, I don't remember. I think it was Die Hard 2. So
It was Die Hard 2, which I hadn't seen. And
right.
I hate to admit it, but I hadn't seen this one either.
Ooh, you see. Bad person. No, you're not a bad person. I've actually been able to... add to your movie watching lists. You know, I've been able to let you see those two blind spots that you haven't seen before, and now talk about them. And we also will get a fresh perspective. I mean, I've seen this movie countless times over the last 29 years. So, it's one of the biggest regrets I always have with movies, that you can never go back and relive that first experience.
The only downside was that I didn't have a chance to see it in the theater, to watch it on a small screen just to prepare for this.
But I am familiar
with the film. I remember when it came out and how it was such a big deal that Samuel L. Jackson was in it alongside Bruce Willis. I had seen Pulp Fiction around that same time, but just never got around to seeing it at that time.
I mean, was it the reason that you didn't want to watch it, or just 29 years, I don't have time.
Yeah, when did this come out? Is it 95. Yeah, so I mean, I would have been like a senior in high school at that point. I don't know. I didn't go out to the theater that much. Most of the stuff I would see was on tape or rented. Just never got around to this one. By the time I was in college a couple of years ago, I was going to all sorts of movies, but this just came out before I was on my movie watching binge.
Okay, that's fair. Minute 120 begins with John trying once again to be a hero, and ends with Simon smiling.
Yes, the evil zoom in of Simon smiling. Gotta love those shots.
That's right. It really is. So we ended things on yesterday, even though today is Friday, but we're going through the weekend this time.
Yes.
So we ended things yesterday, and just to let people know, we will be back tomorrow, and we'll be back on Sunday, and we're going to be going all the way through to the end of this movie next Sunday. So you're going to have a full 2 weeks of me and my guests ending this movie.
Two weeks of us?
Monday through Sunday.
Oh my God.
Not just of you.
Oh.
Not just of you. You only get four of those days.
Oh, I see.
You know, there are other guests also.
Ah.
Yeah. Right, because we've had, the guest yesterday, the last 4 days. Mm-hmm. Everyone just heard Hal on the last 4 days. And then when we're done, I have another guest for another 4 episodes. And then we have the two finale episodes.
I have to say, they did a great job. Just wonderful. Of course, I haven't heard it yet, but yes, we're saying it.
The ones before you,
yes,
or after you?
All of them. Great. Love these guys.
Well, a peek behind the curtain, that they've both already recorded. So, theoretically, you could have heard them. Maybe I will send them to you if you really want to listen to them. But I don't think you'll be able to listen to them before we finished recording all four of these episodes. So
that's okay.
Sorry. That's one drawback of it. I can't even tell you, okay, you can watch them, just have it on mute. That won't help because it's right. only audio. So that's not really going to help. Oh, well. But we got a lot of information about the helicopters over the last few days by Hal, who himself is an aviator. So, So we don't have to talk about the helicopters and the make and what are the advantages of each of them.
Well, wait a minute. I had a question having to do with the helicopter. Do they usually come with these spotlights? Or is that an add-on?
I think it's an add-on. We didn't discuss that in the last few days, but I do believe that they are add-ons.
Because that's an important add-on that they have here, you know. I mean, imagine if they had this scene that we're watching right now and they didn't have the spotlight. The whole thing would be just dark. You wouldn't see a thing.
That's correct.
Very important that they brought that.
We ended things yesterday with John basically realizing that Zeus is having trouble getting out of the helicopter, and he decides he's going to draw fire and run away. So he goes, I'm going to try and get his attention. And he starts running away. Now, before he runs away, I never noticed this before, but if you look at the 2-second mark of this minute, you can actually see the payphones that are going to be very important in a few days from now.
Mm.
You know, which means that they did this all in one set.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, it must have been a real location, I think. I mean, they wouldn't have all the height to be able to have, you know, that helicopter.
That's
and
true.
I mean, all the shots that you see were taken. Maybe it was even taken from that helicopter. We don't know. But if they were to do that today, these would have all been drone shots.
That's right.
I mean, it's very... very unlikely these days that you would hire a helicopter to get the same effect. Much more cost effective to use drones, but they're great shots.
Yeah,
you know, these POV shots that we get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do. I mean, and you know, I don't know if that really is Bruce Willis running away or not, but it looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
did he usually do his own stunts in these films? Are you aware?
Some of them he did, but he did have a stunt double. To do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that in the original Die Hard, when he's falling down the stairs, you can see that it's not him.
Nah.
When he kills Tony, when they're fighting and they fall down the stairs and he breaks his neck, you know, so that in that scene, you get to see that it is definitely a stunt double and it's not Bruce Willis.
Well, that just reminds me of a film I saw recently with my kids, or the stunt doubles.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
How old are your kids that you're going to let them watch Spaceballs?
My son actually was the one who asked about it, because he's recently been playing a bunch of Star Wars video games. And when I told him there was a parody with Star Wars, his eyes lit up. No, he's 9 years old. You know, and I just warned them as I watch. I was like, yeah, you know, there is some profanity in here, but I mean, it's hilarious stuff. And he really loved it. So did my daughter.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I saw it when I, let's see, when it came out in
89, like near the end.
87. No, it came out in 87. Okay. So I was 13. And I remember 10. That a friend of our family took me and his son. And I remember the whole way home, we kept saying, Phil, he's an asshole. We just kept saying that over and over and over, and you know, this father got a little bit upset that we kept quoting the movie all the way home.
But yeah, that's a great one. I know that this is about Die Hard, but I was told that there is going to be a sequel to Spaceballs. Finally, the search for more money, and I think it's going to be a Netflix thing coming out in the next year. Josh Gad, who did the Snowman and the Frozen movies, he is signed on with that one. As is Mel Brooks, who is getting closer to be the 2,000-year-old man each year.
That's right. Wow. I'm actually quite – it's that would be very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because quite interesting to think about the fact that, that 40 years on, they're going to be making a sequel to it.
Yeah, and the time doesn't seem to be coming up. Mel Brooks actually did a follow-up to History of the World. He did part two, though.
Which I didn't like it as much as
I agree. Too much
one.
Profanity for profanity's sake in that one. It just wasn't that funny. But I'm hopeful that maybe space will be better.
Yeah, that is the hope. For some reason, I don't have much hope for that. But, it would be nice. It would be nice if he's able to actually pull that one off. But I guess we're going to have to wait and see, because I mean, taking movies from the 80s and making sequels to them have been hit or miss. For instance, I hated the sequel to Coming to America.
Oh,
I thought it was just horrendous.
And,
But Beverly Hills Cop, the new one, was fun.
I didn't see that one.
You know, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. I liked it because of the nostalgia that they brought back so many other characters that we've already seen over the years and stuff like that. That was nice, but it still wasn't, the story wasn't as good as the original one was.
Right.
Which is pretty much mostly what happens with the.
We'll bring that around. I've been told for years that there would be a remake or a follow up to Big Trouble in Little China. That was a movie from 1986. So I mean, we're getting close to 40 years on that one as well. But haven't heard anything. That was supposed to be with The Rock, somehow tied to it, but I don't know. Maybe it would have been fun 10 years ago, but now it's just time keeps moving on. I don't know.
Yeah, it also doesn't sound like something that you'd get Kurt Russell back for. So I don't know. Just wouldn't be worth it.
Though I did hear recently, just like in the last couple of weeks, I guess somebody had interviewed Kurt Russell mentioning it, and he expressed some interest in being a part of something like that. So it could be fun. Who knows?
Correct. The question is what does it mean by being a part of it? You know.
Yeah. Well,
you know, is it just okay? We're going to give a little. That's right.
Maybe.
Yeah. That. I mean. Again. But then you look at the Indiana Jones movies and stuff like that. Like Dial of Destiny. In my opinion, the first 40 minutes, you know, where they have the de-aged Indiana Jones is the best part of the movie. It's great. It has all the energy of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Not even talking about number four, the original trilogy. But then after that, you know, once they have, you know, it's back in the 1960s, it's just not as good. And it's like, I want to see an energy filled Indiana Jones. I don't want to see, you know, an older Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
I hear you. Yeah.
So I mean, I know why Hollywood has been doing this over the years, over the last, I don't know, maybe even 10 years, bringing back, old ideas and trying to reuse them. But to me, it's just a waste because, you know, it's that much easier to go and just rent or download or whatever the original. And you don't have to try to, try to change things or whatever it is.
Yeah. I hear you.
I don't know. That's my opinion. you don't have to agree with it if you don't want to. Anyone out there. So, right. So, John here, back to Die Hard. So, John has decided, that's right. So, John has decided that he wants to once again try and save Zeus, which is not the first time that he's had to do this in this movie. And, you know, as you said, the shot from above is great. And we see John start running. And, you know, obviously Simon's going to shoot at him. Because why should he shoot at Zeus? You know, he just the pyrotechnics and special effects are great because we see, you know, all the different sparks of how close he's getting. He hits all the cars around him and stuff like that. But obviously.
Yeah. What do you call that? Are those squibs or you know, when they make the little shots blow up as, you know, on the cars as you run by?
Well, I know that squibs are when they're on a person's body. So I don't know if they're still considered squibs on the ground.
There must be some term for it, but yeah, I mean, there have been countless movies, especially from this era, that do it. And then, it looks really cool.
It looks really cool, except for the fact that they show that the bad guys can never hit anything that they're trying to,
Yeah, you'd think with that spotlight, especially in the low altitude, that Simon would be a better shot, but then we'd have the movie end too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I mean, again, as I've mentioned so many times, you know, this isn't the original ending, and this isn't even the second ending that they did. This is the third ending that they've tried for this movie. And maybe over the next few days, we'll talk about at least the alternative ending that was filmed. You know,
Though I do like to speculate, what would have happened if he was a better shot? I could see maybe two or three things happening. You know, the film would end. Simon and his silent girlfriend would probably fly away with all the, you know, they wouldn't have the gold. And those trucks that went out, you know, they'd probably get stopped by the police.
Well, they already did. We saw that in the last few days that they were getting stopped.
Yeah. it just felt to me, though, that there was a missing scene where there should have been some sort of a standoff between Simon's private army and the cops. Yeah,
well, they all gave up.
Where you see them grab all these guns and everything. They just give up. They don't get to use all that. They don't feel it's worth it.
Well, come on. They were up against the Mounties. You know, get their man?
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
That's right. Isn't their motto like the Mounties always get their man or something
could
like
be.
That?
Sounds good.
So, you know, hey, no, but you're right. I've mentioned this numerous times, and I'm sure I'll talk about it over the next week about this, about how you know, this ending isn't as satisfying as one would hope it would be. Forgetting about the fact that neither are the other two.
Well,
they weren't able to find the satisfying ending to this movie. And that's, you know, as great as this movie is, that in my opinion is its biggest flaw. The fact that they don't find something that we get to say, oh wow, this is a great ending. You know, but we'll get there. We're jumping a little bit ahead of ourselves here. Right. And then we see you know, the spotlight with Simon still trying to catch him. And then John jumps behind a car. And, you know, he reaches into what looks like maybe his pocket, or at the same time, he's also opening up this little revolver that he had gotten. It just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, the whole two bullets
that's
left.
Right. And
I do like the fact in the scene, though, that he has the spent casings
that's right.
of the other bullets in his pocket. So how did he get those?
No. He doesn't have them in his pocket. He shakes out the revolver because he is already shot from the revolver. So the spent casings are from there.
I see.
And I love how he just like flicks them off of his hand.
Yeah.
Like we see that he has four bullets on his hand, you know, in his hand, and he flicks two of them away because they're the spent casings, you know, and then he just reloads the other two, which is an interesting way to figure out how many bullets you still have. But okay.
But you were just about to mention that this is similar to the other Die Hards. Yeah, I mean, this is a callback, it seems like, because at the end of Die Hard 1,
that's right.
He also had two bullets left and two bad guys to kill. And
That's right. The only difference there was is that he had two different types of guns. You know, that was part of the trick that they played on everyone, you know, where he was holding the machine gun and also had his pistol on him, but the trick they did there was, you know, that both guns use 9mm, so it worked. You know, you have the MP5 that has a 9mm, and you know, his pistol has a 9mm, but here he just has a revolver,
right?
Which, you know, he doesn't know how many bullets he actually has. You know, and he has to actually show us that, hey, you know, this is John McClane's two bullets. That's that's all he gets.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're at a carnival and they say, okay, you get to throw two balls. That's it.
That's right. And then he talks to himself a lot in these minutes. You know, he says, "Oh, this keeps getting better and better."
Hell yeah.
So that one reminded me of a Star Wars line where Lando says, "Oh, this deal keeps getting worse all the time."
That's right. That's right. Worse, better, same thing. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't hear Lando say in front of Darth Vader. That would have been interesting if he would have said, "Oh, it just this deal just keeps getting worse and worse." I could see Lando doing that. You know, in an alternate reality, you know, where it wasn't George Lucas's family friendly.
Well,
version.
They probably would have used something else, like, you know, Bantha Poodoo or something.
That's right. That's true also. It's a good problem. And, you know, we still have the helicopter circling above, doing its best to try and find John. And, I mean, they do it nicely. You know, one of the things you get to also see when he's putting the bullets in the thing, you see that John still has his wedding ring on. You know, so despite all of these issues and stuff like that, he's still, at least wants people to believe he's married or believes that he should be married or something like that. And then
he's still holding out
that's
hope.
Right. And then he gives his smug reply and goes, "I had no idea Canada could be so much fun."
Yeah. More of his talking to himself. I felt like throughout the rest of the movie, he didn't talk to himself as much, but we're really getting a lot of it in these last couple of minutes.
Well, because here he has, you know, this is one of the first times that he's by himself.
Right.
You know, in the original Die Hard, he was entirely by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the second one, he was partially by himself, and here he's almost entirely not by himself. So, you know, it's good that they found the spots where you can actually, you know, give John time to talk to himself. You know, and then he looks up and sees the helicopter and is trying to figure out, you know, how he can get a good shot about the whole thing. And the music starts changing a little bit. You know, we can tell that this is the climax of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then John says, just give me something to shoot at.
Right.
Come on, hot shot. And then he goes, show me that smiling face.
Do you notice the sound effects here? You can actually hear the sound of the nylon jacket, you know, zipping a little bit as he raises and lowers the gun. He's looking for something to shoot. The nice little touch there.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think he's being blinded by the spotlight? You think that's his issue here?
It seems so. Yeah. I mean, it would make sense, right? If it's so dark and there's that light shining in your face.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know what? If you look at second 44 of this minute, I don't know if you have that open, but you can easily tell that these are two stuntmen and this is not Simon and Katya.
Oh,
these are
funny.
Men. These are two men in there.
What? They couldn't find a female pilot stunt lookalike for Katya?
which is really weird because, I mean, we'll talk about this in the next few days, but there is a female pilot listed in the credits. Interesting. I mean, you and I won't talk about it. I'll talk about it with my next guest, but that's really weird. Do you concur that these are definitely not them?
Well, I'm looking at kind of a not the highest resolution version right now, but I'll take your word for it because I can see that you can see both of them here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's not them.
Okay.
and John keeps putting his hand up, trying to figure out, you know, if he's being, trying to stop being blinded by the whole thing.
Right.
And, you know, they give us some great helicopter acrobatics here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no question about it, the way that they move the helicopter back and forth and stuff like that. So I like how they do that. But John's just looking for a good shot.
Have you ever been in a helicopter?
Have I been in a helicopter in flight or have I been in a helicopter?
Just in general.
I have been in a helicopter.
Uh-huh.
I've been in a helicopter, a real helicopter simulator.
Oh.
And when I did my Army service about 30 years ago, there was a helicopter that needed to guys to go in and guard the helicopter overnight.
Oh, wow.
You know, until the mechanics were able to get there. So, I mean, I was in the helicopter at that time, you know, guarding it. But I've never flown in a helicopter.
No.
Have you?
I've been in a small plane, like a
Cessna. I mean, I know you have bad. I know you've had bad travel experiences in planes on the way to Movies by Minute.
Yes.
You see, I remember the stories. Someone remembers your story.
I still have not flown Frontier or Spirit since.
That probably is a smart move. I nothing against the company, but based on reviews that I've gotten from a guest, I don't know if I would.
Right.
I would quickly sign up to take one of those flights. And. And the minute ends with a close up of this time we actually do see that it is Simon and Katya in the helicopter, and Simon's getting ready to shoot John, and we see that he has this huge smile on his face, which is great.
Oh yeah,
which is great, and I think
it's only Jeremy Irons can provide.
That's true, and I think it's what's superb about it is that this is a great place to cut this minute.
Yes.
You know, it really leaves us, wondering what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah.
What happened? Will they run out of fuel and crash? Will John get taken out?
Tune in tomorrow.
In Canada forever and have a new wife and kids? We don't know.
Who knows? No, we don't know at all. All right, so I don't have anything else for this minute. Do you have anything else for this minute?
No, just the lovely smile from Simon and what will happen next.
All right, so obviously, as we've been talking about the last few days, there is nothing to talk about in the script because there is nothing in the script doesn't have these minutes in the middle.
Oh.
So since today is Friday, we will do a Friday segment, which is Name That Movie.
Ah.
Which is a little game. It's a game that I set up for my guests, where what we do is something very simple. I mean, this movie, you know, this movie's original title was not Die Hard with a Vengeance, correct? Are you familiar with that aspect of it?
I remember that it was adapted from something else potentially, but no, I don't know what it was called.
It was originally called Simon Says.
Ah.
So basically, as we know, many movies have changed their titles before they were finally released. So what I did was I made a list of all the movies that I could find that have different titles, different original titles. So it's a simple game. I will tell you the original title and the year that the movie came out.
I'll do my best.
And you have to try and guess what the movie is. Okay. And you do have lifelines. You can ask for the name of the director. You can ask for names of some
can
of
I
the actors.
Brett Stillo? He's much better at this than I am.
You can call Brett if you would like. I've been trying to get in touch with Brett for over a year and he doesn't respond. So if he responds to you, then good luck. I hope you'll do well. Again, the point of this is not to, the point of this is for you to enjoy yourself and actually guess the movies, you know? So, you know, I don't do this to make you look bad. I want you to look good, that you know these things. So we will start with a relatively easy one. All right. From the year 2000. The original title was Scream, If I Know What You Did Last Halloween.
Oh, was that I Know What You Did Last Summer? Oh, wait, no, you're mixing up the titles. Oh, was that Scary Movie?
Yes, it was. There you go.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
That was the point. okay, great. So you got that one. Mm-hmm. The next one is from 2004. The original title was The Invincibles.
Oh, was that The Incredibles?
Yes, it was. You see? And you were worried that you weren't going to be able to get these. You see? They're,
okay. This era, I'm okay with.
Okay. All right. This next one was actually a fake title. It's not the original title.
Uh-oh.
Okay. But it's a fake title because, you know, as we know, there are movies that that use fake titles in order to, you know, keep the paparazzi away, I guess.
Right.
So in 2017, the fake title's name was Nightingale.
Oh, boy. that doesn't give me that much to work with. 2017.
Yeah. Again, you can ask for.
Oh.
You can ask for actors.
Was it a Cameron directed film?
No, it was not.
Oh, then it's not what I thought it was. Okay. Who was the starring actor?
I will not give you the star, but one of the male supporting role was Chris Pine.
Oh, wait, supporting. So it wasn't Star Trek. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy, is it?
Chris Pine? He wasn't in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of who was in Guardians of the Galaxy who played
Star
Lord?
That
Star-Lord.
Was Chris. Oops. I can't remember his name right now.
but maybe it was a Chris, which
it
is
was
why
a Chris.
I thought
it was a Chris. It was not.
Is it Hemsworth or something?
It was
something,
Chris or, Pratt. Chris Pratt.
Pratt.
That's right. You got when you're dealing with the MCU, you got Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsley, Kelmsworth. I don't know how they.
Yeah. You know. Okay. 2017. Was it a superhero movie?
Yes, it was.
It was.
It still
was
is.
Was it a Marvel superhero movie?
No, it was not.
Was it DC then?
Yes.
Ah, and you said it was called Nightingale.
Yeah.
I don't know. Geez, 2017. I don't know, one of the Superman movies, maybe?
Was Chris Pine in any of the Superman movies?
I never saw him, so I'm not sure. Oh, no, okay. It wasn't.
Okay, I will.
I'm gonna have to pass on this one. What was it?
No, I'm not letting you pass.
You're not letting me pass. I don't know.
No, Aquaman. Not at all. The director was Patty Jenkins.
Oh, was it what the one of the Wonder Woman movies?
It was the first Wonder Woman. Right,
there
yes.
we go.
There.
Got there eventually.
All right. Yes, you did. You did. There you go. That is the point. So the next one from 20.
Not the Robin Hood movie. Prince of.
No. Yeah. No. That was 1991.
Prince of Thieves. Oh. Was that like the video game movie they did? The Prince of Persia, maybe? No.
No.
Prince of Thieves.
No.
I'm not sure. Got a hint?
Okay. Supporting actor John Hamm.
Oh. Prince of Thieves. John Hamm. Still not sure.
Okay. Lead actress Rebecca Hall.
Can't think of it.
Okay. Other actors that are in it. Jeremy Renner.
2010. Was this also a superhero movie? This wasn't.
No.
Was it a drama?
No. I don't know if you really call it a drama. Yeah, okay, you could sort of call it a drama. It's a crime drama. How's that?
Prince of Thieves, a crime drama with John Hamm? I don't know. 2010 was like the time I wasn't watching movies as much, so not sure.
Okay, it stars and it was directed by Ben Affleck.
Oh. Shoot, I'm thinking about that one that takes place in Boston. Does it have anything to do with that?
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
Shoot, what was the name of that movie? I think I did see that one in theaters, actually. I can't remember.
It was called The Town. The Town.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I don't remember it, actually.
All right.
The Town.
That's fine. Mm. All right. And the final one for you is from 1999. The original title of the movie was East Great Falls High.
East Great Falls High? I don't know. This wasn't High School Musical, was it? East Great Falls High. 99? Jeez. Was it a comedy? It was. Was it like a parody movie of something? Like a satire? No. 99. One thing I remember from 99, that was the year that the new Star Wars movie came out, right? Phantom Menace in 99. And what comedy came out that year? I'm going to need more help. I don't remember.
Okay. Allison Hannigan was in it.
That doesn't help me.
Eugene Levy was in it.
Oh, okay. That wasn't one of the Farrelly Brothers films, was it? Like, okay.
No.
Not that one about the apple pie and all that.
No.
Oh, yes, American
it
Pie
is,
then.
But that's not Farrelly.
Okay, all right, there we go.
That's right, American Pie, directed by Paul and Chris Weitz.
Eventually, I get there. Well, 4 for 5 is not terrible, I guess.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Not at all. Great job.
Always.
Thank you very much. Thank you for playing, Josh. All right. So would you like to tell everyone where they can find Josh Horowitz?
Well, you can find me on my website at joshhorowitz.com. Just don't mistake me for the other famous Josh Horowitz, who is that MTV interviewing personality. I still get people contacting me from time to time saying, interview with Sir Ian McKellen. I'm like, okay. But not me. No, I'm the voiceover actor. And I actually just finished 2 voiceover audiobook narrations that I want to talk about. The first one is called Outsmarting Obesity by Dr. Stuart Lonke. And this is sort of like a self-help book that's coming out in mid-September with the hardcover. It's about weight loss.
So you mean it already came out?
Well, of course it did. Yes. Go and get it where all fine audiobooks are sold. And the other one I was working on was The Complete Illustrated Children's Bible by Janice Emerson. That was just as it sounds. It was the full Bible, which I narrated with several others.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah. Hurrah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.